house forever.
Let us pray as we go into the Word.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege to be in your presence. Once again, as we go into the Word, Lord, we recognize our inability to teach, preach, and to receive it. And so we ask, Lord, under the covering of our fathers, under the Lordship of Jesus, for fresh unction from your throne. Mercy upon my heart and upon my lips, and also upon the hearts and the ears of everyone under the sound of my voice, and all those that are connected watching us electronically, in the name of Jesus, that this word will flow like a stream of living water in purity, in clarity, in power, in the love and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, that I'll be a pure chalice. Your word will flow from you through me to the people, doing an internal, eternal work, making our wills more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation that comes from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, helping us to be doers of the things that we learn, not hearers only, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that, Lord, under the covering of my fathers, I duck under their covering, let your word be back with power, so that yokes will be broken. Lord, strength will come to our feet and our ankle bones. Lord, an encouragement will come into our hearts, so that we'll be able to arise and go forward, Lord, and enter deeper into the temple, Lord, fulfilling all that is in your heart for us at this time, in the name of Jesus. I pray that as your word goes forth, let needs be met. Lord, let burdens be lifted. Help me to redeem the time. Not saying things are necessary, but Lord, speaking as a scribe, instructed unto the kingdom, only those things that you have me say, seeking your glory and the honor of my fathers. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Once again, as we go into the word, it's a great honor and a privilege to be under the covering of our fathers, pastor and mommy. And so it's a great privilege for me to call them my parents. And I don't take that lightly. I thank God for their discipline, their sacrifice. Like Pastor D was preaching beautifully this morning, their life laid down in intercession that has grown us up and is growing us up, so that we leave childish things and cultivate a taste for maturity and the things of maturity, so that we can really, really fulfill the desire that is in the heart of the Father. They are eunuchs unto the kingdom, and it's a privilege to be under their covering. Lord bless you. I pray this word will bring you refreshing, sir and ma. And also to you, my beloved brethren, I pray that this word will help us, it will strengthen us, it will encourage us, and it will, above all, prepare us in Jesus' name. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 to 9, quickly, give it to me. I trust you are with me. Let's read it together. Who in the days of his flesh, talking about Jesus, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, why? In that he feared. That was why it was the next verse. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Next verse. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto them that obey him. This is the pattern, son. This word this morning is entitled Growing in Reverence, or Growing in the Fear of the Lord. You see a pattern here. The reverence, what he calls fear, you know, linking up with obedience, linking up with perfection. Jesus was already perfect. He was born perfect. So when he says perfect, he's not talking about perfection, he's talking about maturity. So we're talking about the fact that if you look at this, Jesus is the prototype. And God is making, like Pastor David preached this morning, many sons unto glory. The same pathway. The same pathway. So this is the production line of sons. That's what the church is supposed to be. It's a place where God takes little children and babies, grows them up into sonship, and then releases them to the world. And what God is doing is that we imbibe godly fear. And the level of the degree to which you imbibe the godly fear is the degree to which you can obey God. And that's the degree to which you can become perfect or mature. and then the degree to which you can be a savior
out of Mount Zion.
So it's sequential. So we don't the fear of God is not all or none. All right? It's something we must make sure that with the Message Bible calls it honoring God. But this is what is going to bring the glory. Okay? And how do we know that you have completed the reverence course?
That's it. Because there's a course in God. Reverence is a course. Okay, how do you know you've come? Look at John chapter 5, verse 30. Give it to me in the Amplified, please. Quickly.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm able to do nothing from myself independently of my own accord.
So you understand when you say, my mind told me. We don't need your mind to tell you. You need God to tell you. It's not your mind.
But only as I am taught by God and as I get His orders, even as I hear, I judge. I decide as I am bidden to decide. I have no will of my own. This is the ultimate. Am I going to get there in Jesus' name? But on the way there, you need to be able to know the landmarks. And when you go out of the way, you can bring yourself back. Amen. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. Stop. Look at what he said up further up. He says, as I am taught by. So God teaches you. That's the law of your mother. And then he instructs you. So the instruction doesn't leave any room for I want. But if you reject the law of the mother, you will not be able to obey the instruction of the father. God is both father and mother. I'm using what Pastor Dewey preached this morning. It's what the father and mother. So you can see, you are taught and then you are instructed. You are taught and then you are bidden. You are taught and then you are bidden. They asked him, this man was caught in adultery. What should we do with that? He had to be taught. Then he received an instruction. So it's teaching and instruction. Teaching and instruction. You need both to grow to this point. It says, as the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment is right, just, righteous, because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and the pleasure of the Father who sent me. That's how you know you've gotten there. All right, so it's important for us to set our hearts to grow in godly fear, to learn from the Holy Spirit. But before you get to the Holy Spirit, you must learn from spiritual fathers, apostolic and prophetic fathers. If you don't obey the man you can see, God will not give you that which is your own. God won't talk to you. Samuel is a prototype. Until Samuel was obedient to Eli, woke up at 12 midnight and said, Samuel. He went, ran to Eli. May God have mercy. Reverence. If he had thought, Baba, it's one day, this old man has come again. You know, he doesn't even control all these bigger boys. They are bullying me. They are bad boys. They are bullying me and he doesn't do anything. I don't even know. Sir. No. He left that one. He's as unto God. He ran. He saw Eli as the priest of God. And he ran. Okay, you won't. I didn't call you. Then Eli understood. Then God spoke to him, reverence, to an Eli that was backsliding. So this is what God is talking about. It's sober. It's something that we need to cultivate because it's lacking in the church. And God is restoring it. Amen. And it's going to be restored in Jesus' name. Without necessary degree of godly fear, you become presumptuous. You think you are with God, but God left you long time ago. Or put it this way, you left God. You spared. God was too slow. Sharp, sharp. Along show go. Oh my God, do it now. So you just to put it in gear for this gear one. God, change the gear now. Change the gear. Is it you driving or is it God driving? 1 Samuel 16. You can be a man of God. You grow in reverence. Even Jesus though was a son of God, he still had to grow in reverence. Until the very end. The fact that he had did miracles, raised Jairus' daughter, raised Lazarus. It didn't mean that he was going to pass in Gethsemane if he didn't have the reverence. This is a compulsory course, 001. You're taking it all through to the end. Before the glory and after the glory. Amen. Right. 1 Samuel 16. Quickly, I'm just going to very quickly because I'm watching the time. Okay. The Lord said unto Samuel,
Okay, we know the story. Give me verse 2. Samuel said, I can't hear you, brethren. Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. And it's true. Next verse. So we see and invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one I name to you. Next verse. And Samuel did what the Lord said. Did Samuel fear God? Yes, because he was going there at the risk of his life. He was obeying God. But there are levels of fear. And you need to grow in it. That's the essence of this. So Samuel and the elders came and trembled. They were afraid of Samuel. Samuel was afraid of God. The people were afraid of Samuel. That's where you should be. Levels of reverence. Have you come peaceably? Okay. Right. So we see that. Verse 6 to 8. I'll just summarize. Verse 6 to 8. You can just show it. So when they came, he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Next verse. And the Lord said to Samuel, don't look upon his appearance or the height of his stature. For I have what? Rejected him. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but Lord looks where? On the heart. Next verse. And Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. You know, Jesse is now, he's almost taking over the show. He's like, you didn't, this one is not okay. I have another one. This one. And neither has the Lord chosen this one. And indeed for the other one. Brethren, what is this teaching us? Always we grow out of it. We judge by appearance. And God wants, as the more mature you grow, the less you judge by appearance. The more you learn to judge by the heart. So that's what it says. So Samuel feared God, but thank God he asked. He said, surely, this is it. There's no need to look any further. This must be the guy. And you know Eliab's name? Eliab's name is God. God is my father. So he had God written all over him. And he had the look. He had the expression. It's not charisma. The things of God. His heart. Don't walk on the outside. Walk on the inside. I'm not saying you should neglect the outside. But please don't walk on the outside at the expense of the inside. If you put preparation on the outside, you must double what you put on the inside. So you'll be chosen. You'll be chosen in Jesus' name. Alright, because that's what's going on. Alright? Jesse called Abinadab. He was very generous. His name means father of generosity. He's very generous. And this one, he'll be a good king. He'll give everybody, you'll be a nice person. The guy's already working it out in his mind. But said, no, it's not based on that. He called Shammah. Ah, this one, God is there. God is there. It's not based on that. It's not based on the name. Your name can be Joseph and you are far from God. Yes, eh? And your name can be Shefumi or Shekumi and you are close to God. So it's not about anything on the outside. It's what the effort on the inside. So we must all outgrow presumptuousness. Looks like God is not like God. Looks like, sounds like, feels like is not God. You need to make sure it's God. In this day, we must start walking circumspectly as a barefooted priest. So God is teaching us and instructing us to look at the heart. Are you learning this? You must learn it. Don't allow others to impose their opinion or judgment on you on fundamental spiritual matters. Jesse was telling Samuel, take generosity, he's my man. Take this one now. God is there. You see, God is all over him. It's not like that. As I hear, I judge. I'm not hearing from you, I'm hearing from God. I'm not hearing from circumstances, I'm hearing from God. Amen. That's the will of God for us. Alright? And you see this. 1 Samuel 26:7-9, Message Bible. 1 Samuel 26:7-9. Quickly. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So David and Abishai entered the encampment by night. And there he was, Saul, stretched out asleep at the center of the camp, his spear stuck in the ground near his head. with Abner and the troops sound asleep on all sides. Next verse. And Abishai said, this is the moment. Be careful the kind of people you surround yourself with. This is the moment. God has put your enemy in your grasp. Let me nail him to the ground with his spear. One hit will do it. Believe me, I won't need a second. They will get into trouble. They will complicate your life. Just stay with the will of God. David, what was David's response? Verse 9. And David said to Abishai, don't you dare hurt him. How could you lay a hand on God's anointed and even think of getting away with it? He didn't see Saul the way Abishai saw Saul. They saw Saul differently. He saw Saul through God's eyes, God's anointed. He saw Saul as this wicked man that has been persecuting us. And he was. Who are those God has put around you? How do you see them? Your parents, your boss, your colleague, team partner, whatever it is in school, your roommate. Second, that's the next verse. You're preaching it. 2 Corinthians 5:16. I'm not going to go there because it's already been preached. Know no man after the flesh. You don't see them. Okay, give it that to me in the Amplified. Give it to me in the Amplified because it's important to see it. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view. In terms of natural standards of value, no, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint and as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of him. Now, we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. The Message Bible says that's how we missed him. We thought of him as a man, and that's why we missed him as the Messiah. But I want to save time. Okay? So, what is God saying? God is saying that we must follow Jesus' lifestyle. Grow in godly fear. It's possible to grow in it. And let it be precious to you. The last thing you throw away under pressure should be your attitude. The last thing you throw away should be your attitude. Under pressure, hold on to on your attitude. Let everything else go. Like Job. Took his wife. Took his children. Took everything he had. In one day, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I won't sin against God in my attitude. God knows what he's doing. That should be our attitude. Nigeria, God knows what he's doing. God is working it out. Amen. Now, so we see, so godly fear is based on security. What is God? The fear of God is the Father has preached so many times. I'm just preaching what he's preached. It's based on the security of God's mercy and the certainty of his judgment. Alright? And it's very important. I want to bring out something here. You don't fear man and then you don't fear God. Now you should fear God and honor men. But many times you can fear men because the men can do things to you now. Right now, they can respond to you right now. Stop your salary. Hello. As now, isn't it? Collect your car and say, you haven't made your payments. I repossess the car. Now. Come taking your car now. It's now. God's own is by and by. So God looks far away. Shouldn't be. Look at Shimei. 2 Samuel 16:5-8. You can show the story. Let me just tell you. We know the story. David's son Absalom rises up against him. So David has to flee because Absalom has a lot of the army people that followed him. He's stolen the men's hearts, and the whole of the army has come behind backed Absalom. So as he's going and leaving, Shimei stands out and says, "Thou wicked man! Certainly, you see, God has God has finally what you have sown, you are reaping. You killed Saul. Did he kill Saul?" But you know how people have their own narrative. So he has his own narrative of the whole event, you know, and his own alternative reality. And he said, you are the one that kills. God is catching you. David didn't even bother. Abishai. He said, Ogami, this dead dog, shaking fist. Should I use this sword to slap his face? So that we will reconfigure the shape of his mouth. I just need to talk. David said, I beg, just let's go. Let's go. Which one is you? You, this boy, safe. That was David's response. All right. Now, look at chapter 19. Give me chapter 19, verse 16. God turns the table around. Hosanna today, crucify him tomorrow. When they say Hosanna, know them after, don't add the flesh. Because they can say crucify him. When they say crucify him, know them after the flesh, because they can come back and say Hosanna. Look at verse 16. I didn't say Luke, Lord have mercy. I said 2 Samuel 19, verse 16, have life. Amen. All right, I'm going in fear. And she made the son of Gera a Benjamite, which of Bavri, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. Verse 17. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin. Hey, boys, baby. I'm a dead man. Come and beg for me, please. 1,000 men were with him. And Ziba was in his good books. Now people are, they bring somebody that they know that he can't say no to this guy. Come and beg him for me. No, and the house of and his 15 sons, all of his sons, they just come help me, I beg. And his 20 servants, and they went over to Jordan before the king. Made a show of dying to self. Went over Jordan to meet the king. Next verse. And they went over a ferry boat and she made some girl fell down before the king as he was coming back Jordan. He lay prostrate on the floor. Next verse. And said unto the king, let not my lord impute iniquity unto me. Neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. Next verse. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day to come and have my, please beg. To all of the house of Joseph to go down, come and meet the Lord the King. Of course, you know the boys near David said, Oga, this is our day. When God gives you power, when God gives you advantage, be merciful. Be merciful. Next verse. Abishai answered, what did David say? David said, leave him alone. There will be no death this day, and left him. The rest, fast forward, the rest of David's reign. Rest of David's reign. Shimei is breathing God's good air. He fears David, but he hasn't changed in his heart. Reverence is in your heart towards God regarding those in authority over you. God left him. 1 Kings chapter 2. But God told David when he was on his bed. Chapter 2. Give me verse 36 to 37. But okay, let me fast forward. If you look at the way we were before, he told Solomon. Said Solomon, there are some people you should not forget. Joab, Abiathar, and Shimei. Those three people, don't let their hoary head go down in peace. Summarily, and as he was saying it, because he's a prophet, those ones too are making mistakes that were punishable by death. Joab did his own that was punishable by death because he joined Adonijah. Then Abiathar just removed Abiathar from the priesthood and banished him and said, leave Jerusalem. And then remained Shimei. And he called Shimei and told him, see, stay in Jerusalem. He tried to bring him close. David was living in Jerusalem. He tried to bring him close and come and live here in Benjamin. Don't go out. Oh. But his heart is not in Jerusalem. His heart is to be far away. Unlike Jesus, who shrank away from wanting to be in the darkness, Shimei enjoys the darkness. He doesn't want to be in the light. So when he's in the light, he's uncomfortable. I don't know whether you are like that. You're uncomfortable in the light. You're uncomfortable around your pastor. Why should you be? He's watching for your soul. He shouldn't be. You should be dwelling in Jerusalem. Your heart should be at peace and at home in Jerusalem. Cut a long story short. Two of Shimei's servants stole something and ran and went to Gath. Instead of Shimei to let them go and forgive them and show mercy. How many times have they shown him mercy? Forgiveness, brethren. It's the beginning of love. He didn't let it go. You know, the first thing, as soon as they run, he just got on his horse and followed them. And went to retrieve them, to come back and come and deal with them. That's why he went to beg. Because he knows the kind of person he is. That when people offend him, he doesn't forgive. And they forgave him. He typifies that story in the book of Matthew. A king that had one servant owed a king 10,000 talents, and they forgave him. The same in Shimei. They forgave him. He asked for time to pay. They forgave him, frankly. And then somebody owed him small. And then instead of him to forgive the way he was forgiven, he followed him. And come on, pay. So you know what? It came on him. As soon as the came and came back, he said, Oga, we saw Shimei on the road. He said, tell him to come to my palace. Shimei, you know I told you. Why? He feared man. He did not fear God. The fear of man is not. God knows the difference. Fear of God is when there's nobody there. If he had just changed his heart, you know, God would not have mentioned his name. He would have just mentioned Joab and Abiathar. But God knew that he was there. And as long as he was a threat to the kingdom, God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Right, so we learn that. Why? Why is this important? Our obedience is critical now. Just because we are at the threshold of inheriting the glory and the fullness of God and the glory of God. And we know the story in 2 Kings chapter 1. We see Elisha following Elijah. And we see they went from Bethel to Gilgal, I beg your pardon, to Bethel. From Bethel to Jericho. From Jericho to Jordan. And it was Jordan that he inherited the promise of the double portion. We say, where is the God of Elijah? And they gave him the mantle of Elijah. And he had a double portion of the spirit that was upon Elijah. But that journey is also a journey in the growth of the reverence of God. You grew in reverence. When you are from Gilgal to Bethel, is the baby to little child. From Bethel to Jericho is the little child to young man, level of reverence. From Jericho to Jordan is the father, level of reverence. And you go across. So it's progress. I'm just showing that to tell that it's progressive. And then, as sure as Elisha received the double portion, it's sure that you're going to receive the spiritual measure. The scripture cannot be broken. The type must be fulfilled. It's going to be fulfilled in you in Jesus' name. So we see that. Now notice that along the way, there were people that were living in Gilgal that knew what was happening, but were not following. They're not growing. They're not growing in reverence. They don't emphasize growth in the things of the heart. They just camp where they are and enjoy the blessings around there. So there's a type. There's this false leadership ministry, you know, that is not going on. They don't emphasize growth. They don't talk about the heart. They don't talk about you growing up spiritually. They just tell you about get blessed, get prosperous. No, depending on wherever you are, get healed, get delivered, and that's the thrust of their message. Shouldn't be. The essence of God, like Pastor Joshua was powerfully this morning, is to raise many sons, many Elijahs, many Elishas, not just one. That's the will of God. Amen. All right, and we also see the importance of this. The scripture says in Isaiah 8:18, I and the children of the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders. So what does this mean here? You know, God needs us in this process of inheriting. You can't inherit alone. It's you and your children. So the same way our spiritual fathers, Pastor and Mommy, and wherever else, it's not only here, it's wherever else, the 7,000 that are in the cave, is I and the children. And the children have a role to play, much the same way as Isaac had a role to play in Abraham in inheriting. You see, this is the same thing. Genesis chapter 22, you know, you see that story. I'm not going to read it because we know it. It's for time. God tells him and calls him and says, Abraham, says, Lord, yes. He says, take your son, your only son whom thou lovest, and take him to a mountain I will show you to offer him as a sacrifice to me there. Abraham didn't question it. He didn't pretend as if he didn't hear. Reverence. Fair. I want to obey God. I want to please Him. And I won't let anything stand in the way of my pleasing Him. It's not talking about offering. It's talking about anything God asks for. Like Mommy says, you know, she went around the house and put sold on everything that was in the house. The that new car sold. G-Wagon sold. The Prado sold. Everything sold for God. So any day, the day God is coming, it's your own. Do as you like. But then, have you put sold on it? Abraham put sold on it. If he had complained, anything he did, the Bible would have recorded it. God is not partial. The Bible would have recorded it. So each Baptist, he got up and moved and went. Then he got to a place, God said, okay, this is the mountain. So he stopped there and told the young men to stay down. May you not stay down. You're supposed to go up. But they were servants. Okay? Don't be a servant, be a son. The servants always ask, servants are always asked to stay. And when they stay, they don't mind staying because they are servants. But sons always want to go to where the father is. They don't. How can they stay at the foot of the mountain? Me and my son, I will go up. So it's son and father that go up. We are sons or our parents. We're going to go up with them. We're not going to stay at the bottom foot of the mountain. That's another message from another day. So they went up. So when they got up to the mountain, you know, we know the story. The son said in verse 9, son said, I see the altar, I see the wood. I said, there's no ram. He said, the Lord will provide himself a lamb for the offering. And then he now proceeded to cut the wood and put it on and then bind the boy. And the boy stood bound. He bound him. He bound him standing. Bound him properly. And then laid him on the wood. The boy is a teenager by now. He's a teenager by now. So he is understanding. When he has a daddy and they give that kind of proverb reply, it's not a direct reply now. We don't see the ram. It says the Lord will provide. Okay. He will provide. Where is the provision? Daddy, you are tying me. Daddy, what's happening? He can't, do you understand what I mean? So what happened? The boy trusted his father implicitly. Training. It's a training. If you don't train your children, the day you need them to stand with you to inherit, it's going to show up. We'll train our children in Jesus' name. So I don't care. Don't let them tell you don't have enough time. Better pray with them. Better share the Bible with them. Yes, so they must read it. And they must understand. Tell you what I understand. And push them and push the screw and push the screw until they understand that they don't understand. And ask for help. Push the screw. Don't let them go off. Because you are saving their soul. And you need them on the day of your inheritance. Because if that boy had gotten up, that was the end. God, I'm sorry. I knew I tied him, but he's stronger than me. He got up. The boy, the same way Abraham trusted God implicitly, same reverence. At his own level, he was reverencing God. And daddy was at a higher level, reverencing God. So reverence synced with reverence and they aligned. Total obedience. And you see the effect. When you get to verse 16, give me verse 13, Genesis 22, verse 13. 13, thank you. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind there was a ram caught in the thicket. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him as a burnt offering instead of his son. Next verse, 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah, as it is said, Tuesday in this mount of the Lord it shall be seen. God made a provision. Next verse. Verse 15. Yes. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. After the obedience. Bible says, being made perfect. That's it. Next verse. Verse 16. By myself have I sworn, said Lord. For because thou hast done this thing. Just put this with obedience. That level of obedience. It was a breakthrough level. He broke through into the glory. He broke through into the inheritance of the promise. Don't let the promises that you have experienced hinder you from the one that you are yet to experience. And you have not withheld thy son, thine only son. Next verse.
that in blessing,
I will bless thee. In multiplying, I multiply thee. In short, a new covenant came into effect.
He had promised him at the beginning, but he now grew into it and actually got it and secured it.
Yeah.
He established it. Amen. So we see that's why this message is important. What you and I do or don't do is going to affect Pastor and Mommy. It's going to affect. So you need to be praying. You need to be doing what you're supposed to be doing so that we can inherit together. It's very important. They need us. They need us. Abraham needed his son. And we also need to train our children.
You know, and tell them it's a compulsory course. The way they talk, you know, it should be that when people are complimenting your children, you know, it should be like, oh, praise God. I'm not satisfied with him yet. That's where it should be. It shouldn't be that you are wondering. No, your standard should be high. It should be high. It should be scriptural standard. Don't lower it for them. Don't, the pastor said, preach this morning. Don't water it down. You're the pastor of your home. Set the standard. Okay, you can't do the whole thing. Do small. You can't do the whole line. Do one phase. Do two. Do something. Do something. As they grow old, as they get to that point, do something. Let me even see that you're doing something. Because the day that I say, train up the child the way he should go. So the day when he's old, he will not depart. The day you need them, they will be in their place. Amen. Number two reason, until we fully circumcise our hearts in reverence, the less circumcised our hearts are, or the less reverential we are towards God and the people in authority over us, the more of the world that you have inside there. Israel came out of Egypt, but Egypt was in them. So in Joshua chapter 5, God said, look, make sharp knives and circumcise these people again. I don't have time, so just check it. Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. Say, and circumcise them. And remove the foreskin. Give me verse 9. Remove the foreskin. And it was for a purpose. Give me Joshua 5, 9. The Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the what? Reproach of Egypt from off you. So it was in you. It was stuck on in the flesh. You have to remove it. The knife is the word of God. You circumcise the sharp two-edged sword. Pierce it to the divider asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Use the word to circumcise. Cut it skillfully. And cut off. The Bible says he led them with the integrity of his heart and the skillfulness of his hands he guided them. Skillful. You have to be skillful in the word. As a parent, and cut off the reproach. So you cut off each time you get to a higher level, you demand more. The higher level, you demand more. That's how to do it. Otherwise, they will be, it's like this caricatures, God forbid, in Jesus' name. Very big head and very tiny body. Cartoon. Big head. Your children will be big. When it comes to sociology, they'll be smart. When it comes to further math, they'll be very smart. When it comes to math, they'll get A star. When it comes to thinking, they'll get zero. It's an anomaly. It's an anomaly. It's very wrong. Should never be. Because when they come to spiritualities, look at Daniel now. Look at Daniel. Bible says, it's not him that said it. Other people looked at him and said, "Oga, that man, excellent spirit." That's number one. Then knowledge, understanding. Well, so we're not putting down knowledge, understanding. It's after, not before. Amen. We give that. It's not me. That is God. Okay. So this is the key. And then the degree of that, the reverence, is the degree to which you get revelation. John 7:17. If any man will do his will, your commitment to the will of God will determine how much you know. Teach your children. They have to know that. If you really want to know, you will know. If you really want to please God, you will know. You will know. It's open. It's over. I don't understand this thing. No. You know, because they come following us quietly. You know, just come to them quietly. I see some of them quietly. Eh? Your parents are praying
praying in the house and just standing and looking, waiting for the show to end. May God have mercy. Check out their praying. I'm not hearing your voice. Very important. Very important. Amen. All right, so we see that it affects our destiny. Our children must have revelation. We must have revelation. So each time you grow in reverence, you remove more of the foreskin. Then you see more. You see new things, new light. And what you see, you can inherit. You know, the kingdom, if you don't see it, how can you enter into it? The first thing is to see by revelation. Amen? So that's important. And then finally, if you don't give reverence, you don't know the way you should go. Joshua chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Bible says you give 2,000 cubits, reverence. You won't know the way to go. Okay? And we'll know the way to go in Jesus' name. But what we're saying is that it's important to watch the heart. Make sure your heart is not too familiar with those in authority. You give that reverence and you keep watching it. You keep exercising. And when people correct you, it's a favor. You quickly take it and thank you. It will not be excellent oil. It will not break my head. Anoint your head. Amen. How? Well, very, very simply, seek to please God. Seek to please God, because that's what it is. No, seek to please God. Obedience. How do you please God? Jesus told us, Matthew 11:20-30. No. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am what? Me. Of all the things that Jesus was, it was that he said, learn of me. Learn obedience. Hebrews chapter 5. No. Learn obedience. Learn of me. Learn. That's meekness. Meekness and knowledge. What is meekness? Your teachability. Okay? Your willingness to accept the truth. Is meekness. Psalm 15 verse 2. These are scriptures we know already, so I'm not going to go and dwell on them. Lowliness is your willingness to act on the truth. Even when it makes you look lower than you are, or you think you are, or it's inconvenient for your pride, you exercise it. It's something that we set. Let's say together. Set. Exercise. Set. Exercise. That's how it's done. So it's something you grow. Each time you pray in the morning and I set my will and I determine, you're not wasting time. Something is happening inside. You're growing in that reverence, millimeter by millimeter. And when you look back over 6 months, wow! See how much ground by the grace and the mercy of God. It's very important to understand that, okay? All right? You know, by nature, we hate the truth. John chapter 3. Verse 19 to 21. Give it to me in the Message Bible. Quickly. And this... No, give it to me in the Message Bible. Thank you. This is the crisis we are in. I don't know how many people are reading with me. This is the crisis we are in. God light streamed into the world. But men and women everywhere ran for the darkness. Like Shimei. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. Next verse. Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, so it's not just one act, it's the habit. It makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and illusion, hates God light. So check yourself. And won't come near it, fearing a painful exposure. Look at the solution. Verse 21. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But anyone, is it only men? Is it only women, elderly people, anyone working and living in truth and reality welcomes God light. So the work can be seen for the God work it is. God light makes you do God work. That's what he's talking about. So he's talking about being able to come to the light and asking God, okay, Lord, I change my motive. From seeking to please myself, seeking to please God. But the other person I'm dealing with is pleasing himself. Don't worry about that. You can't control for the other person. The only person you can control for is yourself. And if you stay on your ground, then you will attract God into the situation. But as long as he's doing his own thing, you're doing your own thing, two of you are quarreling, God is out of there. Bible says, where there is envy and strife, there is disorder and then evil work. You can't afford it. You need God to be there. So, because God will be the arbiter. Look at Saul and David now. So, Abishai was responding to Saul.
David was responding to God. Even David with Nabal, he made a mistake. Just to show you that we all were growing. He responded to Nabal initially. He wanted to respond to Nabal. Then God helped him. Because God knows that's not his habit. God sent Abigail to tell him, better screw your head on correctly. Okay. When they are begging you, I'm not gonna. Relax. It's enlightened self-interest. Better let it go. What God, whatever they've taken away, God will give you back good measure, pressed down, shaken together. I've seen it work with Pastor and Mommy. Not small money, six figures. Seven figures. I had to open my mouth. You can walk away. Walk away. Mommy said, God gives, go and give back again. My very before, God did it too. Another way, another means, in another place. Nobody's big enough to block your star. They're not big enough. They haven't made the person that can block. It's you that can block yourself. Get out of the way. And let God show himself strong on your behalf. And your enemies will come back like Shimei. Ejeman binu. And be gracious. Don't take it as your time to exercise your pound of flesh. Remember, if you take a pound of flesh, you're without a drop of blood. And what is enough for the wise? All right, number two. Obey and submit quickly to instruction from those in spiritual authority in line with the word. Even when you don't understand it. Obey and submit. Hebrews 13:17. I'm not telling you, these are things we know. So build an obedient habit. Let obedience be your habit. Take fast hold of instruction. She's thy life. So let obedience be your habit. So you are always in life. You're always in light. That's the way. So that becomes your habit. So you're growing. That's how to do it. It's the attitude and the action. It's the attitude and the action. You can't take the attitude alone. If you hold on to attitude and you don't know action, then the attitude will not be sustained. Number three, stay close to God. Let me just put it that way. Holy Spirit help me. How do you say stay close to God? First is to cultivate closer fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Psalm 16, verse 8. Set the Lord before you. He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Set him. Because when he's not there, people will be looking as if, it's as if you are just wasting time and people are running around. No, when he's there, he will tell you, relax. Then he will tell you, come into the sanctuary. Let me show you their end. And you see now, relax. Pray for them. But it's difficult when there's nobody with you. Or you don't understand the reality that God is actually there with you, right there. Set him and acknowledge him in all of your ways. So he will direct your path. A man devises his way, but it's the Lord that directs his steps. Even when you want to pray, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is being operated. It belongs to the Holy Spirit. It belongs to somebody. You can't just take the law and be operating it. Even if it's working initially, when you get to a place of a problem, when you buy an app, or you buy something, and this is malfunction. You just pick up the phone and call the people that you bought. Please, come and help us look at the app because there's after sales service. You can't, when you buy something, there's after sales service because that thing, you can misbehave. So when you're operating in law and because of, the things in your heart, it's not working, you will turn to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me. The law of the Spirit of life. It's not the law of life in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life. He's there for a reason. Helper, comforter, guide, encourager. And God knows you need it. It was superfluous. God won't provide it. So we have a relationship with him. And then let him now teach you and help you. And particularly here, Pastor has asked me to emphasize this very important truth. Can I have the slides, please? Thank you. The gray ones. Thank you. Right. Okay. Give me the other one first. Quickly, because we're running up. Yeah. Oh, okay. Sorry. Give me the other one. I think you're right. All right. Fine. So, you see the schematic. The end of all of this, staying close to God, is in the thoughts. You acknowledge God for mercy frequently. The quickest you can do to be close to God is not with your mouth. It's in your thoughts. It's in your thoughts. By the time you say something, but in your thoughts, you can reply, pam, pam. So the key is frequently, Lord, I acknowledge God for mercy with thanksgiving to enable me to be faithful in walking in love. Then to enable me to give life to those around me so that they will be able to do obedient actions and they will be able to repent and they will be able to overcome temptation themselves. So instead of them being a thorn in my flesh, I'm releasing life constantly with my thoughts to make them work together for my good. That's the end of it. That and the frequency which you do that is the frequency which you are close to God. So nobody can stop your closeness to God. It's right under your power. But that can't work without this background. You have to pray in the spirit with all kinds of prayer. At least one. And that's why Good Morning Jesus is very important. It's extremely critical. Because that's where you get the boost to now make all the other things work. Next is confession of the word. Next is meditation of the Lord. Now, these things we have been taught. We know we do the confession of the Lord prayers. Okay? Those are very important prayers. We also meditate the word. Apart from confession, because confession releases the power in the air, meditation uses that power to now write the law upon your heart. So it steers your heart in that direction. That's how it works. And then acting on the word. This is how it works. It's very important to understand that. Now, then the second slide, please. Second slide, that's the detail. Second slide, that's detail. Okay, so we see details of the things that you actually say. Father, I confess our sins to clean with the blood. Let's say it together. Say, Father, I confess our sins to clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life to enforce the kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So I have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience to walk in love during the next 6 hours. And you pray in tongues. So you release the power. And then you now go to meditation. Meditation is thinking now, I receive the mercy of God, giving me the blood for cleansing of sin so the life and power of God can flow. Now, give me the schematic now. Thank you. The movie. The schematic. That's what Pastor called it. Thank you. All right, so play it. All right. So we see that this is the body of Christ. All right, so they're bringing out one saint here. All right. Now those black dots coming from outside, those arrows, is the power of the devil in the air. Now in that man, that dark area right in the head there is a residual sin nature that's in the soul and the body. Okay, and then you see life of God in the spirit. Okay, so play it now. All right, so you see life. So this is life flowing, light flowing, and this person is in communion with God. All right, now sin has occurred, and that sin now comes and blocks that connection between man and God. That's sin. Okay, thank you very much. All right, so and when he does that, when we sin at the thought level now, the thought of foolishness is what that is not of faith is he that knoweth good and doeth it not is. So sin has many levels, not action alone. So to be effective, so this is the effect, end result of sin. Everywhere there was light, there is still a little bit of light in the spirit, but essentially everywhere else is darkness. So your light, the light is now as darkness. It will not be like that in our lives in Jesus' name. But it is not the aberration. The aberration is not using the blood. That's the key. So you see the blood coming in, the blood cleansing, the light flowing, and where there was darkness now, the light shineth and the darkness does not comprehend it. See, it's flowing. Darkness is just pushing back darkness. Darkness can't do anything to resist it. Thank you. Take it off. Give me Hebrews 8:12. Hebrews 8:12. Thank you. Hebrews 8:12. Thank you. Hebrews 8:12. Right. For I will be what?
merciful to their and their sins and their iniquities. Will I remember?
No. That is the newness of the new covenant over the old. God be merciful. So use it. The frequency of receiving mercy. Because the mercy activates the blood. It removes the block. It gives the life. And then you can pray in tongues and you reverse the situation. So even though there's pressure from outside, you can push it back. And when you push it back so many times, you train your flesh. So your flesh stops responding to the devil and starts responding to God.
That's the will of God. So that Jesus had done that so many times. So he was so close to God, he didn't want to come out again. When you're in that place, you don't want to come out again. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. And finally, number four, deny yourself sleep, food, and pleasures to make time for daily Bible reading. Listening to apostolic and prophetic messages from fathers and Bible study. Don't tell me there's no time. Find the time. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, when you read the word, it builds you up. It builds you up. You are well fed. We are living in a time of war. I was in a soldier that is tired and hungry. That's how the Russians lost the war. You know, they were in the winter, they were tired, they were hungry. It was walkover. The Germans. Yes, Germans. They were so confident, they went into Russia. You know, and all that. They were on several fronts. But they were stretched themselves too thin. So the African magic is not wrong. It's not wrong. But don't spend all that time. Deny yourself that self. Deny yourself food, sleep, whatever you need to give time to prayer and the word. You know, because it builds you up. And then the word, I quoted Hebrews chapter 4. The word now circumcises. Because as you are studying the word, because you are dealing with the living person, the Holy Spirit, he's taking the word and skillfully, like what Pastor Anu said now. That what Pastor Anu said now. Pastor Wega confirmed it independently. God has been talking to two of them about Nigeria. Your attitude. God just spoke to him and he shared it with us as an exhortation. But his correction. God corrected him about his attitude, reverence towards the president. And that scripture, Pastor Boyega quoted in Revelation chapter 12, in verse 10, he says that now is come salvation and strength and kingdom and power is Christ. But at the bottom, he said, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. If the accuser is living in your mind, if he's living in your mind, how will your prayers be heard? That's what he shared with us. It's an example of reverence. A word here. A correction there. You should be kind of person where you're open to the truth. When people tell you things, you should be open to receive. When people tell you the truth and you're busy arguing or you're changing your attitude or you're retort, you don't love the truth. Love it. It will set you free. Setting me free. That's how God's going to set us free. And if you look at Psalm 19 as we close, give me verse 9. Talking about the word. The law of the Lord is perfect. No, it talks about the fear of the Lord. It's through the word that the fear of the Lord is being built. It's through the word. Verse 9. Say, the fear of the Lord is clean and enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. All together. Coming from the word. Next verse. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Next verse. Moreover, by them, the word, is thy servant. So if you are not there, you will not be warned. And in keeping of them, there is what? Great reward. It's not talking, you can't get great reward with little effort. It's talking about you dig it, you find the gems there, then you obey it. Then you get great reward. It's not surface stuff. There's surface and there's deep. You can't get deep blessing with surface commitment. It doesn't work like that. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. If you see those come, you get 1,000. I don't do those things. No, you reload your phone. They will give you three times. Once I see it, I go away. Because it's minimum input, maximum return. God's not like that. I don't care what you're giving. That's not like God. So I don't even get deceived. But if you are looking for a freebie, I tell my children, like I said, nothing is free. Somebody paid for it. Nothing is free. Next verse. Who can understand his errors? There's some errors we have. You can't understand this. If as you are standing here, thing will be behind you. Like my son does for me sometimes. He will just stand behind me. When I look like this, he will move like this. And I say, you are small. See, I can see your shadow here. Okay, but you know, Satan is wise. You know, because he can do that. It's a familiar. You won't see it. Cleanse thou me from is the word. The degree to which you put the word is that it will fish out the secret faults. Next verse. Keep thy servant back also from presumptuous sins. Let him not have dominion over me, then I shall be upright and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. That's it. That's great. That's what she may did is great transgression. That's what he did. Next verse. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's it. Let's pray. The essence is for to give God the glory. Thank God for covering of our fathers. Thank God for covering. Thank God for God. But the important thing is this, the word of our mouth. The meditation of your heart. The word of your mouth, okay, is the meditation of the heart that you need to watch out for. Work on that and the word of the mouth will be fine. Let's talk to God. Just make those adjustments on the inside. Commitment to that thought process. You're already praying, confessing. If you are not, make sure you join Good Morning Jesus. Do the confessions, you know, as often as you can. Aim is 4 times a day. No, then, more importantly, there's covering. So start working with the thought born. Acknowledge Him. Ask for mercy. Thank Him. Walk in love. Pray in tongues. As I pray in tongues, give life to the people around you. Give life. Forgive their sin. Give life to them. As effective as reverence. Beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure all of my days I'm kept in your hand and grafted into your perfect plan.
You gently
call me into your presence. You're guiding me by your Holy Spirit. Teach me, dear Lord,
to live your life through His eyes.
Oh, through your eyes, King, and I'm captured by your holy calling. Set me apart, and I know you're drawing me to yourself. Lead me, Lord.
Follow that plan without seeing everything through His eyes. And stay close to Him.
Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, showing me And it is your desire for me, by walking in submission to spiritual fathers and to the Word, and watching and praying frequently and fervently, I will grow in reverence and consequently in obedience, and consequently will enter into maturity and inherit the promises that you have ahead of me. Heavenly Father, I ask for mercy upon myself to be faithful. I ask for grace to be diligent, to practice instruction, to make obedience my habit, and to enforce the same in my home, upon my children and my family, so that together we will inherit the promises under the covering of our fathers. In Jesus' name, amen. Spirit, Rabakatandas, Jeffrey Keko Bang, Rebeke Kokaka, Roboko Temesato, Megalebebekanama, Robababoba, Robababo, Meko Bandes, Yewo Minamana, Robababoba, Hasatonia, Yewo Mial, Roda the Bonga, Robabaka Santeke, Jeke Kobaka, Robababa, Jenebe Papa Kantama, Megababa Bale, Maradobo Bula, Rene de Belalo, Rina Matabayana, Megaleana, Jeremia, Baremo, Satata, Jekama, Birana, Rodama, Berea, Berea, Jeleva Sata, Rada Lebea, Bariana, Remo, Biranaya, Seralebaya, Berasa, Jeffreke Comanica. In Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you so much for speaking to us so expressly today. Thank you, Lord, for your word that has come forth so marvelously clear, cut, so beautifully structured, and Lord, penetrating into our hearts by your Spirit. We thank you for your servants that you have used today to bring your word, Lord. Thank you so much for the covering of our fathers and their labor over us in this house. Say thank you, Lord, because by your mercy and grace in us, they will see, Lord, the travail of their souls, and they'll be satisfied, causing us as we grow more and more each day, Lord, in all the things we're being taught, to bring great joy to their hearts and pleasure to their souls. We're deeply grateful for your visitation with us here today. We return to you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise under the covering of our fathers, under the lordship of the Lord Jesus, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. We say thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's share the grace. Father, once again, we come under the covering of our fathers, under the lordship of the Lord Jesus, the shepherd and bishop of our souls in this house. We say the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord lifts up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. And God makes us head and not tail. We're above only and not beneath. We prosper in all that we set our hands upon to do. We're at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And so we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death, so we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life. And he shows us his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ in Jesus' name. And so the Lord anoints, pass unto us the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Joshua, of Moses, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul and of John, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell your neighbor, say, you grow in reverence. You grow in obedience. And so you inherit the glory. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.